This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland on another Sunday evening. And it's actually Halloween this evening. So if you are celebrating in North America, hello out there to all of you Halloweenies.
I would have said ghouls and goblins, but okay, Halloween works. Halloweeny works. Weenies work.
And that you hear is not the voice of the mermaid who is on a Halloweeny type assignment tonight, but the dulcet tones of my beautiful, wonderful wife, the seamstress for the band, Mrs. Blue Liner.
Hi, guys.
And another week that ended another month of Caps hockey, the first month of the year for Caps hockey. And wouldn't you know it, they survived another
Halloween already. How is it the end of October?
You tell me. Time marches on. Time flies. Whatever.
Time is flying. Somebody needs to take it off of the super jet.
Well, speaking of time flying, what did you say you found in the store today already?
Christmas candy.
And, of course, none of the...
Halloweeny candy.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for candy so we could hand out in case kids came around trick-or-treating tonight, and there was no candy to be found.
Of course not.
And I wasn't going to hand out Whitman samplers. Sorry, that's not happened.
That's funny. That's funny. Happy Halloween to all those who celebrate. And as is sort of by tradition, we're going to try and get through this without being
very scary.
How was that?
Too late.
Too late?
Too late.
Too late. Okay. Meaning I'm already being scary?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
It figures. All right. So before I begin, though, with the frivolities, there is something I kind of wanted to get off my chest. And it's a serious thing. It's a kind of a downer, and it's kind of a soapbox thing. So, those of you listening through the earbuds, the speakers, what have you,
did I mute you?
Well, I mean, you can interject if you would like,
okay.
But. I have something to say, and it's about, well, okay. So yes, I realize that this is first and foremost a Caps hockey a Caps fan hockey podcast, a hockey podcast mainly for Caps fans. But to the core, we are also hockey fans, of course, and more basically human beings.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, you pulled out the human being card.
Yeah, and the reason I do so... Well, okay, let me just get to it. So, of course, those of us hockey fans who at least know of the story that's come out within the last several weeks of the sexual assault case with the former Blackhawks coach Brad Aldrich against the now revealed Kyle Beach. And not only the assault itself, but the cover up or the lack of follow through and action by the team that has already had some repercussions and will probably continue to have some. But the thing that I need to say something about is, well, okay, so the report is there. The independent counsel's report, Jenner and Block, that they made regarding the incident, what had happened, and the subsequent cover-up is for all out there to see. So I would say if you want to know more, you want to educate yourselves about what actually happened, read that report. The thing probably, well, among besides the act itself that disgusts me the most is the fact that after it happened, Kyle Beach, who was basically a rookie trying to make the team, was razzed and taunted by his would-be fellow teammates. So these are guys that are supposed to be on the same team as you. These are people that, in some sense at least, are supposed to, yes, you're competing with them for jobs, but they're supposed to be supportive because, after all, you are on the same team, right?
Yes.
Well, okay, so come to find out, if you read the report, a lot, they don't say all, but a lot of these very same so-called teammates razzed and taunted and, well, they basically threw homophobic slurs at Kyle Beach after it happened. So one right then and there, please don't tell me people in the team didn't know that this happened. Cause if it filtered down to the locker room, then surely the rest of the team know, the rest of the team management knew.
If the locker room had an idea of what was going on, then yeah, upper management had some idea as well.
Of course they did. And of course, all of the upper management pretty much has lost their jobs as a result, and rightly so. But my point is, and the thing that disgusts me probably, pardon me, as much as, if not more than, the act itself and the subsequent cover-up, is the fact that these so-called teammates taunted him with these homophobic slurs. Of course, I'm not going to say them, because I'd like to think we're better than that, at least on this podcast. But, well, okay. So here's what I'm getting down to. One of those teammates is a guy. Well, okay. There's nothing that's come to light as yet that he was one of these guys that were throwing the slurs around to Kyle Beach. Nothing concrete has come out about that yet. But there's a guy that's still on the team that is the captain of the team. Now, I'm not going to name him. And I'll tell you why. I'm not going to name him by name. I'm not going to say his name. Okay. And the reason I am not going to say his name is because ever since his rookie season, and even all the way up to and including now, okay, the hockey media has shoved it down our throats that this guy is God's gift to hockey, a true warrior, the man that everybody should hope to be like if they want to be a hockey player, the ultimate leader, the ultimate captain. Well, for one thing, where was he when this was happening? I get this was probably his rookie year. Okay. I get that. But if he's such a great leader, where was he? Is one thing. But bigger than that, I tell you this, if there is even the smallest, tiniest, microscopic crumb of evidence that can be uncovered somewhere that this guy was part of the taunting, the razzing, and the throwing of the slurs to Kyle Beach after this happened, he ought to be thrown out of the league forever, banned for life, wiped off the Stanley Cup, every punishment you can think of that the world's largest and most popular professional hockey league can throw down on one man.
Okay, well, then in your reasoning by that, then any player on that team during that time needs to be thrown out of the league.
Well, why not? But this guy in particular, because the hockey media would love to tell you that this man is the perfect leader, the perfect hockey player, honored as one of the 100 greatest players. If he's so great, which I have never thought he was, if he's such a great leader, where was he when this whole happened? What was he doing? You know, and we've gotten his, and for those curious, we've gotten his statement. He said what he said. He basically did nothing. And in fact, went on to praise management. It would have been better if he had actually had just said nothing at all.
Wait, he praised management for covering it up them years ago, or for coming out and doing what they're doing now?
No, he praised management he praised the guy. He said, basically, Stan Bowman, the general manager at the time, is a great guy. Okay, well, here's the problem. That's extremely flawed logic. Great people do bad things. He didn't praise them for what their inactions. He just said, well, the general manager has been great to me.
Well, of course he's been great to you.
Of course he has.
Now.
Right. But I just want to say this. If there is any evidence whatsoever that comes out in the trial, I don't care if it's 5 years from now, whatever it is, if this guy is still in the league, then he needs to be thrown out. Not only thrown out, banned for life, name erased from the Stanley Cup, never elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. You know what? He can go play the rest of his friggin' career in Russia or Mongolia for all I flippin' care. If there's any evidence at all that he was part of this taunting, he needs to be gone. Because if he is such this mythical great hero that we've been led to believe that he is, then guess what? He needs, like Humpty Dumpty, he needs to have a great fall. And he totally deserves that. And I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Too much more time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. So thus endeth that rant. I had to say something. Sorry if that was too much for our loyal listeners, largely from the DMV and beyond. But thanks for putting up with me. So now for the fun stuff, which is the actual Caps hockey action. Okay, so three games played, and as it happened, still no regulation losses. So, two wins in regulation, one overtime loss. So an overall record for the week of 2-0-1. And for the whole month, pardon me. 5-0-3. And what does the O stand for? Oh my goodness, they survived the month without losing in regulation.
Yeah, those loser points ain't looking too shabby right now, huh?
Yeah. For a team that a lot had written off, yeah, I would agree. I would completely agree. So,
what's worse, all the overtime losses that I've seen, it could have gone either way.
Well, that's true. That's very true. That's why I'm not going to, even though I hate losing.
it's not officially a loss.
Well, technically, it's still a loss, yes, but
time loss, but it's not.
You don't
a loss.
Get you don't get the 2 points, but you know what? It's still 1 point. So,
right, we could be in a lot worse shape.
Very much so. Okay, so we've pledged, the mermaid and I have, to try and keep episodes under an hour, not so much over an hour. I haven't done too good of a job at that. So as part of that, going to try and consolidate the recaps, especially when you consider the first one. Holy hell. Good Lord. This one would probably take up 3/4 of an episode by itself. Talking about the game this past Monday up at the Canadian Tire Center against the Ottawa Senators.
Well, we know how the game ended.
We know how the game ended, and it was, I won't say it was scary. That's a later game, but it was definitely exciting to watch.
Yes, that was definitely an exciting game to watch, and I love the fact that we scored more than football teams did.
Yeah, I saw that meme, and I got a little chuckle out of that the one that said the Caps outscored several football teams.
Yeah.
Anyway, so okay, so the highlights of the game. Basically, okay, so of course, my numbersake, TJ Oshie, with the hat trick, second, third, and fourth goals of the season. I'm trying to see who got the game-winning goal. I believe that was, yeah, it was Oshie. It was Oshie's third goal that was the game winner. Yes.
Hang on.
That one was the one I'm looking at the score sheet. That's the one that made it.
Oh, that's
six,
right.
Four.
I forgot Jensen and Carlson scored, and they were in between.
Right. So no, it wasn't a natural hat trick, but yeah. So Oshie's fourth made it 6-4, and another feature of the game, Connor McMichael, with his second assist. Well, they're crediting. I thought this was his first point, but evidently he had gotten it. Oh, he had gotten it earlier in the game on Oshie's second goal. For his first assist, first ever NHL point, and second assist, second ever NHL point on the game-winning goal, mm-hmm. At 19:52 in the second. So that's Oshie. And so the funny thing was, the Caps had actually jumped out to a 3-0 lead and chased the original starting goalie. And then things went kind of caca from there. Senators came Ottawa storming back. What's that?
Ottawa found their skates.
They decided to start playing again, and you know what they say about the 3-0 lead. That's the hardest lead to, most dangerous lead to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have issues. That one.
Let me just make this point though. If you're going to have a run and gun game like that, I know there's the debate amongst a lot of our fans, a lot of Caps fans. But if you're going to have a run and gun game like that, I think that if it ends up being that type of game, I think you want Sammy in net for that, something like that. Now, if you're going to have a more structured game, then Vitek's your man. Don't you think? Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. I'm thinking.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Well, see, the problem is when you start a game, you don't know if it's going to be run and gun or not.
Well, this is true, but when you get 18 shots in the first period and you give up 13 shots to the other team in the first period, I mean, that's combined. That's more shots than most teams.
More shots than we get most games.
Right.
More than we got last year.
And then you turn around and you give up 16 shots in the next period. I think you can figure out what type of game it's going to be.
Well, yeah, but.
Well, anyway.
Obviously, for out so well for Ottawa switching goalies. So.
No, it didn't. But Alex Ovechkin, of course, continues his chase for the record by getting his sixth and seventh of the year.
He's been busy this year.
Yeah, he's on a mission. He's definitely on a mission, and it shows. No sense questioning that. So I think that's all we're going to say about that game is obviously run and gun, and you know a lot less discipline than Coach LaViolette would like, and I think he had
got hurt.
Is what?
That's the game Dow got hurt and he missed Wednesday's game for, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Was that the game he was out, came back for Wednesday and then was out? No, he was out that game. He came back Wednesday and then went back out on Friday.
Well, so speaking of the Wednesday game, let's see. Yes, he played Wednesday's game and he ended up missing the Friday game. I think. Yeah.
He did. He wasn't in Friday.
Okay, yeah, no 26-4 Friday. Okay, so all right, so moving on to the Wednesday game, Red Wings against the Red Wings back home in Cap 1. Of course, much tighter, much better overall effort defensively anyway. And look, with Coach LaViolette, if you are not responsible defensively, yeah, that's going to go over like a sack of candy corn at a Halloween party. Okay.
Ugh, yeah.
You need to be responsible in your own end if you're going to play for him. That's for damn sure. Just ask Jacob Vrana about that. So. Here we go. It's Detroit on Wednesday. Ovechkin opens the scoring with his eighth of the year on the power play. I think that broke a drought. Well, if last game didn't break the power play drought, this sure as hell did. Go ahead.
No, that broke the drought because they hadn't scored. They were talking about how they hadn't scored on the power play since the first game.
Well, let me see. So let me double check. Surprisingly enough, all of those goals, none of them on the power play. Let me double check that. Yeah, they were only given one power. That, good Lord, that game, the refs stunk that game. Good Lord.
What, back on Monday or?
There was this one play where the Senators rookie, I told you about him. He was this number two draft choice. Tim Stützle, he's from Germany. So he's coming at TJ Oshie. And neither one of them have the puck. And Oshie bumps into him, and Stützle falls down like he'd been shot. I don't know. I don't know. He probably thought he was back in Germany and playing soccer or something. He fell down like he had been shot with a rifle or something like that. And ref throws his arm up, and it's complete BS. But yeah, that's probably the worst penalty call easily, at least of this month.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, it's on the back, so it's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, one power play that whole game, really?
Yeah, I know.
That was crap. But the one chance they did get, they didn't convert. So yeah, they were shut out there. But yeah, like you said, the drought was broken with Ovi's first goal at 19:05, and then Kuznetsov made it 2-0. 4 minutes in the second with another power play goal. And then Adam Ernie.
We're not on Sesame.
Scored his second of the year to make it 2-1. Then Robbie Fabry for the Wings makes it 2-2. And sphincters are tightening. Lo and behold, we go into OT. And yeah, same thing happens every night. We go to OT, and Dylan Larkin puts it away after a turnover. Game over. Loser point. See you later. Quick run of the vitals. 28-25, so way better effort curbing the shots on goal and thus the defense. Lousy night at the faceoff dot, 42.3. Which is, well, evidence that, to me anyway, that if Nick Dowd was in the game, he wasn't doing very well. 44% face-off win percentage for him personally in this game. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, he was in on Wednesday night, but
I don't think he was 100%.
No.
And
well, he even said as much after the game, I think, or one of his quotes. He's like, it felt good, and he felt like it was ready to go, and then obviously it wasn't.
Yeah. But this plays, I mean, this game kind of plays into my argument in that it was a more structurally sound game for the Caps. And so, of course, you had V squared in goal. And, you know, that kind of game plays more to his strengths, I think. And Detroit's not really a run and gun type of team anyway, even though they've got a lot of young legs. But that's just not the game that they play. And yeah, I can't remember who said it, but there was a comment out there that kind of bothers me in that Vanecek has this, whether you can blame him or not, there's this, whenever he plays, there's this nasty kind of habit where goals are given up in the last 10 minutes of the game that swing the outcome. So I don't know if that's the defense kind of just falling back too much and not playing as well, or if it's him kind of tiring. I don't know. It's not that I don't have any lack of, I don't have enough confidence in Vitek. I do. I think he's right now, he's earned the right to play the majority of the games, but that's kind of a habit that, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to see that, but it's happening more often than it should. And I don't think it's 100% his fault, but it's something he needs to take note of. Just my two cents as far as that goes. Okay, so we would go on to the next game, and this was the strange one by far.
Yeah.
This one was the one that had everybody's head scratching because, yeah, it.
Why the hell weren't we not scoring on a team that was
6-0? 0-6.
Whatever. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, I thought at, well, I kind of figured, and a couple of the loyal listeners said as much. I think Stuart Small definitely said as much. That it was a potential trap game. I kind of figured, okay, well, it may not be easy, but it should be a win, at least on paper. But I think a lot of Caps fans went into this game going like, okay, we're supposed to feast on this team like 100 second graders on a giant bowl of Reese's Pieces. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, or I guess make that Reese's Cups. Does that sound better?
Hey, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter.
You got peanut butter and my chocolate.
Well, I don't ever go into any game thinking it's going to be easy. Because you never know what's going on.
You ever go into any game eating that much candy, though?
No.
Yeah, kind of not. So, yeah, of course, me being a diabetic, candy is kind of kryptonite.
Yeah, well.
For me. But anyway, my point is, we Caps fans kind of thought, okay, this should be a game that they win. And as long as they show up, play 60 minutes, and show some effort and commit, then there's no reason why they can't come out of it with a regulation win. Well, I'll tell you what, the first 40-plus frickin' minutes of this game, I wasn't sure. I, for one, was not sure.
Well, if I remember correctly, because I was at work that night, so I was checking the stats when I got a chance. If I remember correctly, the whole first period, Obi didn't take a shot at all.
Yeah, that, well, yeah, I can't explain that. I don't know what happened with that, because in the first period, there were two power play chances. So you would have figured that the captain would have gotten some shot opportunities there.
And so, the fact that we haven't played these teams in over a year.
Well, there's something to be said for that. That's a quality observation. There is, you know, there's a feeling out process. There's something to be figured out, and you know, and the Coyotes aren't a team that a whole lot of people know about. But I mean, yeah, like you said, they're 0-6. They're in the middle of a long road trip. Road trips take a lot out of you.
And plus, when they come home, they're not going to have a stadium or an arena next year. So they've got that to deal with.
That distraction, yeah. But, yeah, I didn't think I didn't think it would be like a 7-0 win. But I figured, show up and play 60 minutes and you would get the win. But 48 minutes of no goals. I've been watching hockey for 40 years. I don't have an explanation for that. Except I think Alan May probably had the best explanation, was that Arizona was just kind of hanging back and playing defense and doing enough to keep the offense at bay, and where they slipped, their goalie stood on his head. Now, this guy had never heard of Vejimelka. Never heard of him before, but he stood on his head and just basically saved their bacon for about 48 minutes. But then came John Carlson's goal, his second of the year, on the power play again. So it looks like whatever was broken with that finally has gotten fixed. Obviously the game winner, because the Coyotes never answered, 12:02 third. And then the captain puts an exclamation point on it with the 120-foot slammer from his own end. An empty netter, making it 2-0, his ninth of the year. And creeping ever closer to Brett Hull for fourth place all-time on the all-time goal-scoring list. Three stars of the game, Samsonov, let's give him his due here. He only had to face 16 shots, but he stopped them all. And a couple of them were some high danger chances. So he got number one star. Carlson, of course, number two star, and the, Arizona goalie, Karel Vejimelka. Vejimelka sandwich, if you're from Australia, had the, third star.
Okay, I'm going to be okay. So part of what may have kept them in the game, I mean, yes, the faceoffs were 50-50 in this game. But a former Capital is on that team that we really needed back, especially if we're not doing faceoffs very well.
Well, I mean, I get that, but... And Nick Dowd is supposed to be our guy, but, you know, he was hurt again.
He was
excused from this game for his continuing injury. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully Oshie's okay, all right, too.
Well, Oshie's walking around with a boot on, so there's no telling.
He is?
Yeah. You didn't see the Halloween costume?
No.
He's got a big old boot on his foot.
Okay, and you would know about that.
Oh, I know all about them boots.
Yeah, you also know about giving people the boot.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Especially me on occasion.
When you deserve it.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? I take it back. The power play, it ain't fixed, because they had six chances against an underperforming penalty kill unit.
Wait a minute. What? Huh?
The Caps' power play was 1-for-6 in this game. They had six chances.
I see. Hang on. You forget I was at work. I've got to look. Interference, holding, flashing, high sticking, hooking. Wow. And we could only convert on one of them.
Right. So I'm going to take it back. Maybe it's not fixed.
I don't think it's 100% fixed.
I don't think it's 100% fixed either. So I'm going to take that back. They need to go back to the drawing board, because you double up a team. And look at this. 32 shots on goal, 16 for the opposition. What the hell? Mm-hmm.
We talked about that, though.
Yeah, I know. Face off was a lot better than people thought. Kind of like a middle class neighborhood when you go trick or treating, 50-50. So, and what was the observation you made in this game?
What the hell is Ovi doing in the dot?
Winning. Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
I don't know how I missed this, but apparently Alex Ovechkin took a faceoff and won it. And that's how dire the situation is in the middle. Because you don't have Oshie, who takes a lot of faceoff. You don't have Nick Dowd. So that leaves Kuznetsov and Keller. You don't have Backstrom either. So, yeah, apparently that's how dire that situation is.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't doing it all the time, because obviously if he's taking the draw, he's not going to be able to shoot it as quickly. So that kind of doesn't work in our benefit. But hell, if he takes it and he wins, why the hell not?
Well, right. But the thing is, he's not supposed to. That's not his job, and that certainly doesn't put him in scoring position. His job is to receive the loose puck. And
yes, what his job is.
Right. So, yeah, I for one, don't want to see too much of that.
Right. But like you said, if we're in that dire circumstance,
yeah, I know.
I know.
And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, that is going to affect the two youngins. I think the plan was to keep McMichael up for the whole year. But as we've discussed already, Hendricks LaPierre, bit of a question mark, because he's still 19 and technically junior eligible.
Right.
So if he plays, I think
if he plays more than 9 games, it burns the year of his contract.
Right.
But let's see. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find information. Hang on. It's taken me a little while. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting to do this.
Should I play the Jeopardy theme?
No, that's fine. Okay, let's see. LaPierre. Okay, so he has... If he's going to stay in the big leagues, he needs to work on his faceoff, because he's a center. That's what he needs to be working on. McMichael's not much better. LaPierre is a 26, McMichael's a 37, so they both got to work on that. But, I mean, see, they're not giving me a time on an average ice time.
Hold on. I got the app in front of me. So time on ice because they were both in the Arizona game. So time on ice for McMichael was 11:19. LaPierre was 9:08. LaPierre is, he's not going to get as much time because he's got less experience and he's younger.
Right. So, well, was he on the third line or the fourth line?
He was on the fourth line.
So he was between Hags and Hathaway?
Well, for a good chunk of it, anyway, yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
But yeah, he's gonna have to work his way up. But Yeah, I mean, that's the one. That's my fear going into next month is what that plus the fact, and we'll go over that in a minute. But a lot of the games in November are going to be on the road.
Right.
So those but are going to be two. Go ahead.
Well, I'm like, oh, I was going to say, well, here's the issue. Who can we call up in Hershey to replace him that's going to be playing as well? Because I know we called, did Leeson even play on Friday?
Yes, he did. Pretty sure he did. Well, he played, I know he played one of the games because they interviewed him during, in between periods. Because Al Koken was talking to him about what a thrill it was that he was in his first game of the season or a game of his career anyway. So yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah.
Yeah. He had 8 minutes of ice time, had one block, one shot, and that was all he did.
Right, but he's So I think he was kind of on that fourth line type of time, but it's
right, but he's another wing. We still are in the center issue because Dowd, Backstrom,
well, okay, so if it's centers you're looking for, they can probably call up Brian Pino. He's a center and he's with Hershey right now, and He had a decent camp, decent preseason. So if they're that desperate for centers, natural centers, then they could probably call him up.
Okay, but here's the thing. If they were that, if
yes, I know. If they do
thought
that,
he was no. Listen, hang on. If they were that impressed with him in camp, he wouldn't have been sent back to Hershey.
Well, that and what do you do with McMichael and or LaPierre? Because they're both centers,
right,
too.
Right.
Is what I was going to say.
Well, okay, if they're concerned about McMichael and burning a year of that contract since he still qualifies, then
LaPierre,
they would send him back to juniors.
That's LaPierre, not McMichael.
Sorry, LaPierre.
Okay.
I
get that. I totally get that.
That would solve that issue. But like I said, if they were that impressed, he wouldn't have been. Wasn't one of the guys to go home? Go back to Hershey?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look. But I'm just saying, if you're looking for a natural center who is used to taking faceoffs and you don't need to sit there and coach them on it, then he's probably the best candidate.
Right.
So anyway, all right. So, thus endeth the week. And so, we're going to do a quick preview of the next week's worth of games at least. So going into November, it's tomorrow night, puck drop at Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay, 7:00 against the Lightning is how they open the week. And then they continue the Florida road trip.
Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't it the Lightning's coach that just got canned?
No. It was the team they're playing next. That's the Panthers, the Florida Panthers.
Oh, okay.
They play them on Thursday. They play on Thursday at 7. That's also 7 puck drop. Thus endeth the Florida road trip because they're back home on Saturday night, back home at Cap One Arena for their first tilt of the year against the Philadelphia Flyers. That's probably going to be the marquee matchup for me. That's the game I'm going to keep an eye on because, that's the team I think they match up well with, but you almost never know what you're going to get with a division game anymore.
Right.
Of course, Philly hanging around in the wild card spot, but I think they're playing a lot better than the record would indicate because they've played a lot of quality teams already. So. But that's the Saturday game. Pardon me.
Yeah, on paper, That's not going to be an easy game.
That's definitely not going to be an easy game. So that, I think that's the one, not to overlook the champs and Florida, who's having a pretty good year, or, well, they were anyway. The rest of it remains to be seen. But Philly's a division rival, and yeah, that's a standard they have to live up to. Week after next is Buffalo at home, and then Detroit again on the road, and the CBJ the very next day, their first back-to-back of the year. So that's going to be interesting as well. And then later on, they play Pittsburgh, and they go on a West Coast road trip, which will also be interesting. So previews of coming attractions, that's
Jesus, what the hell is this? What is the league thinking?
What?
If you look at the schedule for November, they've got three back-to-backs in 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, part of that is it's a condensed schedule because of the Olympics. They're kind of half-assed commitment to the Olympics. Right. Because they're like pretty much no games in February, and then before that, there's the All-Star break. So yeah, everything's kind of jam-packed this year. So you're gonna see a lot of back-to-backs. So
wait a minute, when's the All-Star break?
The All-Star break, I think, is third week of January.
4 days.
And that's probably all they're going to be allotting them. Usually it's a whole week, but it's probably going to be 4 days this time. Again, because of the Olympics.
January 11th through the 14th, maybe.
Well, anyway, I think this is a good place to stop. Given that we've gone on
probably rambled on a lot longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah. So, Anna will be back next week. Thanks, dear, for filling in for her tonight.
Not a problem.
Bit of short notice, sort of. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If not, feel free to skip this download or all future ones. I don't know. Do whatever you want. So, for the seamstress for the band, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that the reason
you want to do this?
I'm sure I want to do this.
Okay.
I am positive I want to do this.
Okay. Just making sure.
That the reason the monster went inside the bar, or the wolfman went inside the bar.
Okay, who went
inside the
bar? Monster or the wolfman?
A monster and a wolfman go inside of a bar. Why?
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Wolfman, go tell Frankenstein why that I wish you were mine.
Why did they go in the bar?
For the booze.
Boo.
Okay, because it's Halloween, I'll throw in a bonus.
Please don't.
My show, my rules. What do you call an annoying pumpkin who does stupid stuff?
Yell.
A jackass o'-lantern.
Mine worked too.
Okay, what's yours?
You didn't hear me say Gil? My answer to your riddle was Gil.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
Ha, This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.